This is the Drive Podcast with Josh Graham.
Now you're talking my language.
You can hear the Drive weekday afternoons, 3 till 6 on WSJS.
You are on a Thursday Drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad. We're a few days after we saw 21 Savage perform on SNL, the SNL that was hosted by Shane Gillis. We've got 21 Savage tickets to give away on each hour of today's show. That's very exciting. WD, super excited for this.
21, can you do something for me? 21.
Fire. Oh, love it.
That's where the six drop
really
comes from.
The six man drop comes from that?
21. Can you do something for me? 21.
That's fitting because B-Dot, six man of Tar Heel basketball, is going to be on the show today. Let's get to football. On-field drills for the NFL Combine begin today. And for the Carolina Panthers, there is one position group they should be watching more closely than any other in Indy. That's wide receiver. Because more than likely, receiver will be the Panthers' focus for their first pick in round two of this draft. And here's why. That's their greatest need. The problems on defense, the defensive problems that they have, can be solved with simply re-signing the free agents that are about to hit the market. Prevent Brian Burns from hitting the market with a franchise tag if you can't work something out. Re-sign Frankie Louvu. The answers for defense are on the roster. Carolina needs skill guys to help out Bryce Young and help out Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen was a plus last year. Nobody else at the skill positions really were. Here was new Panthers GM Dan Morgan in Indy talking about the skill position need.
You know, we need some more playmakers. Obviously we have Adam Thielen, Mingo, but we got to add some more receivers, some more depth and competition in that room right now. And, we just got to get guys that can make plays. You know, that's really what we're, looking at in the draft or whether free agency.
DJ Chark, he's not going to be back. Jonathan Mingo's young. Receivers sometimes take a little bit to develop. He's going into year two. The Panthers need an outside receiver. Again, you got Thielen inside. You hope Hayden Hurst can do more in a new offensive scheme in year two. You need options on the outside. Carolina does not have that right now. And here's the good news. This is one of the deepest receiver drafts ever. And this is the part where I remind you, I'm a Blitnikoff voter. You know that, WD?
Is that right?
Best receiver in college football? I vote for that award. Pay close attention
cool,
to receivers. Daniel Jeremiah, App State graduate. Dustin Kern's going to join us a little bit later on. Got my App gear on. Hashtag take the stairs. 12 of Daniel Jeremiah's top 50 prospects, a list that he put out earlier this week, are receivers. And that's a record for his top 50. There hasn't been more than 11 receivers drafted in the first 50 picks in the last 30 years. And that 12 does not include tight ends like Brock Bowers or number 51 on the list being North Carolina's Tez Walker. The top three guys at receiver this year, incredible. All could be top 10 picks. Marvin Harrison Jr. at Ohio State, of course. But don't overlook Rome Odunze at Washington. Saw him get to the national title game. Malik Nabers at LSU. Watched him in person last year. An incredible receiver. Helped Jaden Daniels win the Heisman Trophy. So there are a ton of receivers, but those three guys aren't available to Carolina because they don't have their first-round draft pick. Their first pick is number 33. Pick number one of round two. The wise thing to do is obvious. Trade back in the second round and take somebody in that next group of receivers. Here are two reasons for that. Reason A, Carolina needs more picks. Obviously, they have a lot of needs, need more picks, need more swings at it. Reason B, going back to DJ's top 50, 9 of the top 13 receivers on DJ's top 50, or I guess 51 if we're including Tez Walker, are between 35 and 51 on that list. Carolina picking 33. So if you can drop back in the draft, take somebody in that 35 to 51 range, and there are 9 good receivers there to potentially take, that seems to make the most sense to me. And out of that group is somebody who pays close attention to college football and more specifically to receivers, Keon Coleman at FSU. If you can get him in the 40s, late 30s, or in the early 40s of the draft, that's a steal. And if you're looking for outside receivers specifically, again, with respect to Ladd McConkey, for example, who a lot of people like out of Georgia, especially after the Senior Bowl, you have a slot guy, which he is, like Adam Thielen. Get someone on the outside. Xavier Worthy at Texas is one to have circled. So those are the two in that next group that I really like. Keon Coleman, Florida State, Xavier Worthy at Texas. But receiver will likely be the focus for the Panthers in round two of the draft. You can reach out to the show on X at WSJS Radio or call us 336-777-1600. The executive producer of this show is Will Dalton. Fresh off a win last night, App State coach Dustin Kearns, as we mentioned, our guest later this hour. What's his saying, WD?
Take the stairs.
That's right. Don't take the escalator or an elevator. If the stairs are available, take the stairs. Speaking of teams that won last night, while most of the headlines at Duke focused on who did play, Kyle Filipowski was in the lineup for the Blue Devils after being injured in the court storm in Winston-Salem last Saturday. The most important development at Cameron last night was who didn't play. And that's Caleb Foster, who had a boot on, was getting around on one of those mini scooters, and who John Shire said was going to be out for a while. Well, there isn't a while left in the season. Looking at the calendar, happy leap day to everyone. March starts tomorrow. And without Caleb Foster, Duke needs to rediscover itself a little bit with almost no runway until the postseason begins. See, Duke is almost as good as they were last year, or very similar to as good as they were last year. And you might think, how's that possible when you see how good Derek Lively was a year ago and they didn't really replace him? Kyle Filipowski isn't quite that guy in the post, and neither is Mark Mitchell. They can't do the things that Lively did to affect games, and Lively's having a great year with the Mavericks in his rookie year. The way that Duke has, air quote, replaced Derek Lively is by adding two shooters in Jared McCain and Caleb Foster, both over 40% from three. So it's been a contrast of styles. Hey, we got more shooting than we do a year ago. We're more of an offensive shooting team than one that's going to lean on defense like last year's team did. Losing a 40% three-point shooter like Caleb Foster really hurts. And John Shire even said as much after the game when trying to do the calculus in his head of, okay, how are we going to replace this guy right now?
Everybody has to step up. And, you know, you don't jump ahead to months from now or weeks from now. There's not months, but 6-7 weeks, whatever it can be, the length of the season. It's all about preparing for the next game. And we have to look at things differently. That's just the bottom line. There's not all of a sudden where you plug somebody in for Caleb. Nobody does what Caleb does on our team.
TJ Power, more minutes last night. The guy that I have circled is Sean Stewart. They need a classic late season Duke emergence for that guy. And that would be perfectly Duke. When you look at their last two national championship runs, 2010, Brian Zubek wasn't playing really going into the month of February. But then he started to play and then became a huge impact player on that championship team with John Shire on it. Grayson Allen, 2015. Rashid Suleiman, after a game at Notre Dame, was dismissed from the team. So that opened up minutes for the freshman that was forgotten about in that class with Okafor and Justice Winslow. And Grayson Allen, of course, had his moment in the national championship game against Wisconsin. In 2020, we don't know what would have happened in the tournament because there wasn't one. But Justin Robinson emerged in the final month of the season, really elevating that Duke team that had Vernon Carey on it. But in all three of those examples, there was runway in February for guys to emerge and to figure things out. Sean Stewart, he is a top 25 recruit. He had 9-9 last night with more minutes, but it's just so soon. No ramp up for him to figure things out. There are just 3 more regular season games remaining, and then you have the tournament in D.C. So really, the biggest thing that could change, more than anything for Duke to impact them in replacing Caleb Foster, or at least trying to couch some of what he, what you lose in him not being in the lineup. Duke needs more consistency from Tyrese Proctor. He had 14 against Wake, played more than 30 minutes for the first time in a month. And what did he do last night? He had an ACC high 7 assists for Duke, which is fantastic. And he was over 30 minutes again. So if he's the best NBA draft prospect on this team. If he takes a level up, then Duke can still achieve its goals without Caleb Foster. But if he doesn't, and Sean Stewart doesn't take that step either, Duke could be in real trouble, because it is a blow they had to their lineup. One of their top six guys probably not going to return, given the way that it looked.
Oh, play me some mountain music like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway.
One of the most fun teams in the state of North Carolina has been App State basketball all year long. If you want to talk about consistency, they have been consistent. Hashtag take the stairs. Take the stairs up the mountain and watch their final game of the year. Regular season game of the year. They've got some aspirations in postseason. At the Home Center on Saturday, get your tickets for that and support this team that's been good. So you're all year long, including last night against ODU. Saw them on SportsCenter's top 10 plays last night. So a lot of shine for the Mountaineers as we welcome in the head Mountaineer, Dustin Kearns, joins us now. And Coach, the last time we chatted inside Home Center, it was ahead of the Auburn game that you would go on to win. You spoke of the season at that point in terms of possibilities. High preseason ranking, good Sun Belt this year. Now that Saturday is the end of the regular season, your team's atop the Sun Belt standings, having won 6 in a row and 14 of 15. How satisfying is it to see your group meet lofty expectations so far?
Well, first of all, Josh, it's great to be on the drive, and I love your shirt, right? App State basketball.
Boom.
You know what? We've got a great group. It's a different group, and I mean that in a complimentary way, in the sense that they truly care about the team. They truly care about the program. They truly care about each other. And so seeing them have success and seeing them happy for each other's success is very rewarding, because that's ultimately what it's about, right? This is a team sport, and you can't do it alone. But it's also a sport that we know that, egos and selfishness can get in the way. What a great group, and let's keep it going.
Given all that success, how does it hit you in terms of the conversation that's being had around your conference when you're receiving votes in the top 25, yet you have people say on the other side, if you don't win 3 in a row in Pensacola next week, you're not an NCAA tournament team?
Yeah, I think that I wish people really went on the eye test a little bit versus so much numbers, right? Like, I understand metrics, I understand numbers, and I understand, all those things as far as the net and KenPom and all that stuff. But I think that when you walk at the eye test of our team, beating Auburn, who's 11th in the country, and leading that game for 28 minutes. And not only since then, beating more teams, beating a UNC Wilmington team, beating a Toledo team, beating a James Madison team. James Madison's got 3 losses.
Yeah.
27-3, and 2 of them are us, right? And so, we've been on national television. We've won on the road. I wish the more talk was about the true eye test. And if you saw this team on a neutral court versus this team, what would that look like? Versus just kind of go into to metrics and stuff. Because I think our program, if you put us on a neutral court with anybody, right, we've got enough athleticism, we've got enough skill, we've got enough depth that it's going to be a dogfight with anybody.
I think you've proven that, and I think James Madison proved that as well against Michigan State the first week of the season. I'll tell you what the Sun Belt reminds me of right now. It reminds me of where the SoCon was just 4 or 5 years ago, where when you look at that conference at that point, man, Wes Miller had him humming at UNCG, Steve Forbes at East Tennessee State, and of course Mike Young was at Wofford. Like, what you guys have built, you and what we see at Madison, and Troy as well is having a really good year. I'm with you. I think that metrics sometimes can lose that. And I wonder, like, with the way conference tournaments are valued nowadays, I wonder how, what needs to happen in order to get multiple teams into the big dance from a league like the Sun Belt that feels so deserving.
Well, I mean, like you mentioned, Troy, three straight seasons of 20-plus wins. James Madison, Coach Byington's done a great job there. And I think there's other, you know, obviously great programs in the Sun Belt. But I think that, you know, there's programs like teams in the Sun Belt. This is what makes March Madness so special, you know, and is putting, you know, schools like us and programs like us on a neutral court. And that's when you have the St. Peter's, the Florida Atlantic's, the VCU's, the Loyola Chicago's. I could keep going, right? And that's what makes it so fun and exciting. And, you know, if you really go down to it, you know, like there are a lot of programs like us, we don't play as nearly as many home games as some of those teams. So the metrics, in my opinion, are a little skewed, mm-hmm. you know? And so we're playing a lot of road, a lot of neutral type games. And so, you know, I don't necessarily have the solution, but, you know, certainly I agree with you.
Dustin Kearns with us here on the way out. As a coach who's had a successful court storm, so to speak, this year, feel obligated, especially now that we know that Kyle Filipowski's okay. Good to see him last night at Duke. What was your take on really this full week of discourse after the court storm in Winston-Salem?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that obviously what happened and, you know, he was, you know, injured and things. Two, I think for every one of those, you've got 48 successful ones, right? Or just, that's a hypothetical number, but like we had a court storming this year against the Auburn Tigers. It was a successful one, right? And I think I think a little much, this is, in, you know, probably gotten a little too much talk. You know, in my opinion, I think that what was lost on it was the win that Wake Forest had over Duke. You know, that was a great win for Wake
Game
Forest.
Game of the year. Both teams shot over 50% and Wake shot out 70% in the second half. And I feel like people don't know that because no one talked about the game.
Yeah, and it got lost in the sense of, you know, but at the end of the day, it's a compliment. If your team's getting the court stored on them, that means that you've got a really good program. You've got a really good team. And it's a sellout, but partly because of you. Like, let's be honest, like Wake Forest, those people there to see Wake, they were also there to see Duke.
Yeah.
You know, that's a compliment to Duke and their program. But I think if you're going to, you know, really get into those conversations that we need to reevaluate handshake lines and all that, because once again, for one ever 50 court stormings, the same thing happens in handshake lines, right? Like we see it once every 100 times, 200 times, some arguing, some scuffling going on or whatever like that. And so I think that that's worth conversation too, if you're really going to evaluate the court storming. I just think like it's part of the college experience for those students. We all want students at our games. We all want students at our games and fans at our games. You know, is there a solution with, hey, give them 10 seconds to get off the court, right?
I love what Mike Golic Jr. suggested, saying the loudest you'll hear a college gym in 2024 is when somebody misses two free throws and they get a free Chick-fil-A sandwich. Right before people run on the court, put some promotion on the screen that says, if you wait until the visiting team gets off the floor, everybody gets chicken wings or cookies. You know what would happen? No one's on the floor until they get the free food.
Yeah, I think you can get the visiting team off for 10 or 15 seconds, and then everybody can have their fun. But, like, I think about perfect example. Last night after our game at Old Dominion, I had a fan come up to me, and he had a picture of me and him after our Auburn on the court as a court store. It was obviously a great experience for me, and he gave me a copy of it. And it's sitting right here in my office right now.
I want to see it, Coach. I want to see it. Oh, my gosh. A fan walking up to Dustin Kearns and saying, I want you to see what happened when I ran on the court.
That's after the court storming at Auburn.
That's right? Awesome.
And so, you know, obviously, once again, it's unfortunate that what happened at the Wake-Duke game. But that's an experience that this guy cherishes and remembers. You know, ironically, of all times, I was like, hey, when was this? He was like, that was the court storming after Auburn. And so, like, you want those people to have those experiences as fans, right? And I just think, like, how many times does a court storming, like, really, really happen? It's happened one time in 23 years in the history of the home center. One. So you're talking hundreds and hundreds of games, right? And so is there a plan in place? 15-second grace period. All right, let's all come down. I mean, it happens in football, too, field stormings. Like, I mean, it's not like it's just – but that's just my opinion on it.
Happened last year, App State, East Carolina. App State fans ran on the field last year.
Troy.
Kid Brewer and the Troy game as well. No, let's not forget about that. Dustin Kearns, it's good to see you. Best of luck on Saturday. Congratulations on what's been already a successful season for the Mountaineers. Oh, yeah, by the way, before you'll say it, take the stairs.
Josh, always great to be on the drive. Go Mountaineers, take the stairs.
It's the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Now science history unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Bang!
Since the dawn of man is really not that long.
One of my favorite internet memes is somebody playing this and then interjected in is Mike Breen saying, bang!
I haven't seen that. That's great.
I've seen the Bare Naked Ladies live who play this and didn't realize that they were the ones that play the song until they did it in concert.
I didn't realize it till we gave away tickets for them.
I also think the Bare Naked Ladies are going to perform in Winston-Salem sometime in the next couple of months. Like at Bailey Park.
Oh.
So... I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure I saw that somewhere. Getting the locker room sound from Duke Louisville last night. Kyle Filipowski, he played. The normal reaction to that is, good, I'm glad he's okay. That's the normal reaction. The psychopathic reaction to that is, oh, so he was faking an injury. He was okay the whole time. And my... This doesn't really change anything about the court storming debate, whether or not Flip was good enough to play in the game. For some, they seem to think that it does. It's what he said afterward that really bothered me. I asked him about the clip that went viral, Steve Forbes, taken up for Duke, saying 1,000%, anyone who thinks that Duke was at fault at all, 1,000% incorrect. We needed to be better. It was unacceptable. The lack of security, Wake Forest apologizing as well. I brought that up to him to see if that meant anything to him, and it sounds like that it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're gonna have, you know, their coaches and AD put out those statements and things like that, and you know, you can say a lot. You know, there's just a lot of discussion. You could go back and forth on what they say and how they mean it and things like that. I didn't see what you're talking about, so I can't really respond to that. You know, but obviously it's a very touchy subject with everyone, and you know, it's hard to, you know, just like you said, move on, you know, look on the bright side.
Now, I didn't post that clip on social media. I didn't do it because I felt that people could take things out of context. I feel like he's received enough stuff on social media. But that answer is pathetic. That's garbage from Kyle Filipowski. Even if he didn't hear, like, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. He didn't hear what Forbes had to say. And I clarified it for him later. Oh, by the way, you didn't hear it. Here's what he said. And he said the same thing to me afterwards. He couldn't care less. He essentially said, not even essentially, he said there that, oh, people are saying words, we just don't know if they mean it. Essentially saying, like, John Curry apologizing, that Wake Forest apologizing, he doesn't know if they mean it or if it's sincere. That's garbage. If somebody apologizes publicly, like, you should accept their apology. Because guess what? Wasn't, like, especially with Steve Forbes, like, it wasn't Steve Forbes' fault that that happened to you. Steve Forbes isn't in charge of security. Like, how about, hey, I appreciate that. Still was rough. Touchy subject for sure. But insinuating that Wake Forest, their apologies weren't sincere? Really? That's what we're going to do. I didn't appreciate that. I didn't. And defended the guy for the last few days. I can't defend that. That's indefensible. Now for something more positive. We saw Jared McCain and his positive potato last night, and here's how that sounded at Jared McCain's locker.
Where's the positive potato at?
Oh, right here.
Where did positive potato come from?
It came from the TikTok shop. Okay. You know, I found it on there, and you know, just a little positive reinforcement in life. You always gotta have some gratitude. Always gotta have some positive vibes. So I think he brings vibes in the locker room. You know, good vibes.
How has the locker room responded to the positive potato?
Oh, you know, they love it. Whenever someone's down, you can just hand them to them. You know, it says, I may be a tiny potato, but I believe in you. Go do your thing. So just like, everybody needs it sometimes. Everybody's down sometimes. So you always need some positive vibes to come back in your life.
Did the positive potato play a role in the bounce back after Saturday?
For sure. It's a huge role, actually. It kind of, you know, we bring in the half. Coach Shire holds it up over his head. And no, I'm playing. But but no, he's like, just, you know, I just come to him at halftime or when we're in the locker room and just, you know, for good vibes, good energy.
ACC Rookie of the Year, just for the positive potato.
I love the positive potato.
52% of the poll that I put out yesterday, who wins Rookie of the Year, is him. And usually when somebody on Duke is on the poll, people vote against that person. So take that with a grain of salt, too. 52% of the poll, 23% say Marcus Burton in Notre Dame. I do think it's down to those two. I don't think Carlton Carrington's been all that great in the month of February. But my vote would go to McCain just because I think he's the better player. And, I mean, he's on a great team. Notre Dame's not good, even though Marcus Burton's being asked to do a ton. Pretty cool. But, you know, those answers from McCain, it sounds like it's better fitted for weekly positivity than it is just playing it dry, just his answers there. So let's give that a shot.
Oh, right here. It came from the TikTok shop.
Okay.
You know, I found it on there. And, you know, just a little positive reinforcement in life. You always got to have some gratitude. Always got to have some positive vibes. So I think he brings vibes in the locker room. Oh, you know, they love it. Whenever someone's down, you can just hand them to them. You know, it says, I may be a tiny potato, but I believe in you. Go do your thing. So just like, everybody needs it sometimes. Everybody's down sometimes. So you always need some positive vibes to come back in your life. It's a huge role, actually. It kind of, you know, we bring in the half. Coach Shire holds it up over his head. And, no, I'm playing. But, but no, he's like, just, you know, I just come to him at halftime or when we're in the locker room and just, you know, for good vibes, good energy.
That is better.
I like that.
That is. Yeah, those clips, I think, pop more with weekly positivity. Love Spencer Hubbard getting into the game last night.
Everybody goes nuts when he, you know, it's going to be good when he gets
first
in the game.
ACC points of his career. You got into an ACC game because Louisville's that bad. Five 20-plus point losses, and Spencer Hubbard hits a three. See, Tom Septon, he's works with us. Mm-hmm. He had never been to Cameron before last night, and so we took him. And here's how, let me think of the right word. Here's how perceptive Septon is when it comes to the happenings of ACC play. We walk out of the post-game press conferences, and the first thing he says to me is, I wasn't impressed with the Louisville coach. I'm like, you know, Tom?
Oh, boy.
I think that might be it for Kenny Payne.
Yeah.
If you're wondering, he probably should have been fired months ago, but the the final straw in the Kenny Payne train probably should have been Tom Septon looking at me and saying, yeah, I wasn't that impressed by that guy.
I mean, it's not impressive.
It's time. And I was in front of some fans that went shirtless and had their chest painted. Yeah. I just assumed that they had something painted like Blue Devils or Duke on the front.
No.
And I posted a picture, which led to BDOT, six-man authority of basketball,
six,
posting pause. because yeah. they actually spelled out the word cockroaches. But I could only get four people in the picture with me behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine what part of the word cockroaches that I could get in the photo. And then I was confused, as a lot of people were watching on TV, because you could see me and the people without their shirts and cockroaches written on their shirts or on their chests. I asked one of them, why do you, why cockroaches? And they said, we think it's funny to get a four-letter word on national TV. That's what one of them said to me. Anyway, college students are going to college student.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
I called out WD for playing a theme song to a TV show earlier and challenged him to play a different theme song for every other segment the rest of the way. And he's followed through on that challenge. And I'm proud of my guy as we welcome in our favorite, BDOT, the sixth man of Tar Heel basketball. Are you driving right now?
Huh?
This doesn't seem like the most safe thing ever, BDOT.
Something I would do.
It's called multitasking. I'm on cruise control. I'm good. I could not miss my appearance here on your show, Josh. However, I am headed to the airport. You know, got to get to Baltimore. You know, CIAA tournament's going on. Very excited. But I didn't want to miss my opportunity. So I'm focused on the road, but I can hear you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not looking at you. I'm focused right here on the road.
Man.
10-2. I'm at 10-2 for anybody that's watching.
I was bummed out that I was very excited to see someone that I knew in high school, Imaje Dodd, get some recognition earlier in the week from Winston-Salem State. But then Winston-Salem State, the defending CIAA champs, loses to Fayetteville State yesterday. How surprised were you to see the Rams fall?
Just a correction, didn't lose to Fayetteville State. I lost to Fayetteville State. I could have understood, Josh Graham. We lost to Bluefield.
Oh.
Bluefield is who we lost to.
Sorry.
Like, Bluefield is an HBCU and it's 80% white, Josh Graham. Did you know that? Because I didn't. Just found that out yesterday.
What?
They're the worst team in the damn conference. We're the best team in the conference, expecting to go back-to-back, and we go out there and pee right down our legs, Josh Graham. I cannot believe we went down there and lost on the first game played in the tournament. It is unreal.
Two white kids. That's terrible. That's even worse, Dot.
Josh Graham, they had three of their players foul out, and we still lost to them in overtime, Josh Graham.
Let me cheer you up. RJ Davis, more points than anyone's ever scored in the history of that building that's been around since the mid-80s. You've gotten to know RJ. How special... What makes RJ most special to you?
Just his stick-to-itiveness. The fact that he just kept going. Like, he's just like, he heard all the comments, he heard all the conversations, and he just stayed in the gym and just stayed dedicated to what he is, which is a guy that can put the ball in the basket. And you and I had a conversation, and you put something in perspective for me that I would like to share, if you don't mind.
Please.
But it was... You know, you said when the situation happened with Caleb and RJ, you know, Caleb is always going to go down in history for the shot he hit against Duke, for the way he tormented Cameron Indoor Stadium his freshman year and his sophomore years, the big shot, of course, against Mark. And if anybody had to go and somebody had to stay, it was dope that RJ got to stay, and now he gets to have his year in glory as a Tar Heel great, and his number will probably be put in the rafters at this point. And it's just awesome that both of them got that story, and it's just even more awesome for RJ just because he's a damn dog, and I just love to see him out there dropping hell of a bucket.
Guess what we have tickets to give away during grammar school?
I bet you it ain't to the Duke and Carolina women's game because that thing is sold out, baby. Let's go here! Actually, Major Kelly, give me some buckets! But what do you have?
This might be a nice hint for you.
21, can you do something for me?
21. There you go. Yeah, Could
you got tickets to go see 21?
That's right. All someone has to do is help me out. 336-777-1600. The attempt gets you 21 Savage tickets for Charlotte. Let's play Grammar School.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
Brought to you by Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
At Heritage Hardwood Floors, when it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling. I don't have a ceiling either. I can open up my ceiling and wave out. What's happening, everybody? I'm on Josh Graham's show playing Grammar School.
Love it. Dot, I have a caucastic question to get us started. You ready?
I'm ready.
21 Savage was associated with a man named Shane Gillis last weekend. Can you tell me anything about Shane Gillis?
Shane Gillis is a pharmaceutical salesman from Ohio. And Shane Gillis amassed his fortune because his dad was a lawyer for BMF before they moved from Detroit to Atlanta. And the money they paid him sort of, I don't know who the hell that is, Josh.
Shane Gillis was the host of SNL last weekend that 21 Savage was performing at. Shane Gillis will be playing Greensboro in June, the same month that 21 Savage will be performing Charlotte, the tickets that we're giving away.
21, can you do something for me?
Shane Gillis might be WDNI's favorite comic right now, too.
Shane Gillis is a comedian.
He is. He got fired at SNL a day after he was hired at SNL, and then they invited him to host 5 years later. So there's some.
Man, that's called full circle. I like how that played out for Buddy.
What's your first grammar school question?
Well, we're doing an extension of last week, Josh Graham. Again, I want to make sure your textversation. I want to make sure your textversation, don't make those faces, is up to par, okay? So up first, three letters, W-T-S. W-T-S.
W-T-S.
Yeah,
speaking
and I'll give you a hint. It's the worst text that a female can send a guy.
W-T-S. 336-777-1600. Related note, it has to bother you, Dot, because it bothers me and WD, and we've let Wes Durham know this, when Corey Alexander calls Wes WD. Come on.
It drives me crazy.
There's
it
only
drives
one.
Me crazy. I already told y'all, like no way, like, stop it. There's only one WD, and I love Wes Durham. Like, that's my guy. Like, I look up to that gentleman, but he is the legendary Wes Durham. That is his name. WD is right here running a fantastic produced show on The Drive.
Let's go to Justin and Winston. WTS.
Hey!
And he gave me the hint. It's something that you'd never want to get a text from a woman. What does WTS stand for, Justin?
Well, I have no idea, but if I had to guess, I would say, why this size?
Okay. Thank you, Justin.
Oh, boy.
That's, That'd be an interesting text. Why this size? I don't know. I didn't choose it. I didn't pick it out. Why? I think we all are in agreement that why probably is the first one. Or where. It could be where. Where. You know what? Just for Justin's sake. Why this size, Dot?
Is that your final answer?
Just give me the darn X.
Of course that's incorrect. Yeah. It went to sleep, Josh. Went to sleep.
Oh.
Yeah. Never want to have that one.
No.
You up?
You up.
Nothing. Next morning, text you. Went to sleep. Dang it.
What's the second one?
W-B-U. W-B-U. U.
Oh, I feel like I know this one. W.
Come on, man.
B. U.
Yes.
W. B. U. Yes. What about you? Man. What about you?
There we go. There we go. There we go. There we go.
I've used that one. Yeah. WBU.
All right. Get this one right, Josh Graham, and you get a satisfactory grade today. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Four letters. D P M O.
D P M O.
Yes, and honestly, that's exactly what I'm going to say to you right now. D-P-M-O.
Okay, I'm looking at W-D just because... D-P-M-O. Don't play me. I want to say off, but I don't think that's an expression. D-P-M-O. Do you agree with the first three letters, W-D?
See,
You know this one.
Okay, never mind.
I'm not looking at you.
You can't go to me.
I can't go to you.
Sorry, pal.
I'm going to do that. Don't play me off.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, yeah.
Josh, don't piss me off.
Oh!
Come on, man!
I got three of the four! I got three of the four, but the wrong one! The second
letter! What does don't play me off even mean? That's not even a thing! Don't play me off!
I guess like in the Oscars or like you're giving an acceptance speech, don't play that music. I got something to say
here. How many people in this... come on, Josh.
I know.
Use your context clues now.
Sorry. Failing grade. I failed grammar
school.
You mentioned Deja Kelly and Carolina basketball, women's basketball. Caitlin Clark just announced in the last hour she will not be returning for another season. She could come back for a COVID year. She... announced that this will be her last year at Iowa. Women's hoops, man, like exploding because of the name recognition of her and the coaches like Kim Mulkey and Gino Auriemma and Paige Beckers is back. And of course you have Dawn Staley at South Carolina and the ACC getting all these teams. How has your interest level in women's basketball changed at all in recent years, or has it?
No, it hasn't really, man. Well, I guess I could say I enjoyed college a little bit more. I was always knowledgeable, at the least, of the WNBA and the superstars there. But I'm just happy for Coach Banghart and this Tar Heels team, man. Like, I just want this to be a great – if it is the final season for players like Usby and DK, like, I want those – I want and Anya, I think Zalea, I want them to go out, you know, strong. And whipping the wheels off NC State – brought me a lot of joy, you know, and this sold-out game versus Duke, if they can get this dub, that will bring me even more joy. And I just hope they continue to advance. And just being very transparent, I would absolutely love it if RJ and Deja, the king and the queen of college basketball, both of them came back for another COVID year. I would absolutely love it, and I think the Carolina family would love it too.
Dot, you going to get some Jimmy Seafood in Baltimore?
You damn right. I already talked to Jay. You already know. I'm saying, as soon as my flight land, I'm one way there first, and then I'm going to give me something to eat for the nightcap at the room. You know that.
Give me some Orioles gear while you're up there. The Orioles, the birds about to start
I'm
the
not
season.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay,
I'm
you
not,
won't.
I'm not going to do that at all.
I'm trying to figure that check. Love you, Dot. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk next week.
Love you too, dude. Y'all be good. WD!